Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, American Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge, and this is your latest sensational Manchester United transfer news this morning, because we have got some big, interesting, don't do it stories this morning. We're talking Baleba. We're talking Van de Ven. We're talking Tchouaméni. We're talking not Tonali. We're talking strange decisions. We're talking Coop Miners from Italy. And we're talking reacting to who the overlap have said is their player of the year for the season, which is interesting because Bruno is mentioned. But don't sign Van de Ven, don't sign Baleba is my big message. But there is so much to get into this morning, because actually, whilst everybody starts off talking about Tonali, this is coming out from The Athletic this morning from Laurie Whitwell. I actually think the two biggest updates in this article and most concerning updates in this article, and I will start on Van de Ven, but I just want to drop this to come back to. A deal for Tonali is expected to be out of reach for United, all aspects considered. Fernandes at West Ham, Scott at Bournemouth, and Gomez at Wolves have also been watched. United want to add two midfielders, doing both at the price point of 70 million, echoing their three big signings last summer, might be beyond their finances this time round, given the further squad strengthening required. So that update from Laurie Whitwell in The Athletic this morning is basically saying United would like to buy two, but buying two at 70 million each is maybe beyond their reach. So we've gone from needing three to maybe buying two, but if we do get two, they won't both be decent £70 million players. One of them will be cheap and one of them will be about £70 million. So that concerns me as well. It then goes on to say Man United are targeting four signings this summer, including an experienced striker and a left-back, with Luke Shaw needing more rotation. However, some agents believe the squad may actually require more, potentially up to three more players than currently planned. So it's a little bit worrying. I mean, I don't think we're going to mention the manager today. I don't think we need to mention that story today, because we're talking transfers. And the story seems to be back on track that it's two midfielders. One will be expensive, one will be cheap, and four for the summer. I mean, it's just not enough. It's just not enough, is it? It won't be enough. And Joey says four major signings star. Yeah, but what's major, mate? I mean, it literally says it there. You know, they won't be able to pay... probably won't be able to pay £70 million for each midfielder. And two won't be enough anyway. It won't be enough. So we'll come back to that. But I want to start off with this story around Van de Ven. So this, in the same article, Man United are considering making a move for Mickey Van de Ven this summer. His speed, ball carrying and tackling ability is highly rated by the Man United hierarchy. I mean, you know, it's Thursday. We're closing in on the weekend. It's the preview tonight. We've got Ben Jacobs on at two. It's a happy day. The weekend starts here. But this is absolute rubbish. This is what worries me about United. Liam Delap was rated by the hierarchy. Thank God we dodged that. Last summer, we were looking to pay £70, £75 million on Baleba. It's not worth it. And now the hierarchy rates Mickey van de Ven. You know what the hierarchy at Man United should do? Watch That's Football. Right, I have watched so many Spurs games over the last 2 years, and I don't say this lightly, because I never thought United would go for him. He's overrated. He's probably one of the most overrated players in the Premier League. Like, he's, you know, Ruben Diaz is overrated. Van de Ven is on a totally different level. Right, I'll tell you what, you put Rio Ferdinand or John Terry or Nemanja Vidic or Virgil van Dijk at centre-back for Spurs for the last 2 years, and they wouldn't be as shit. You can't be a centre-back in a Spurs side and be in a relegation battle. And last season, they finished low as well. He is predominantly responsible for Spurs being where they are. You can't be a decent centre-back and play in a team that's got that many good players and not be responsible for their shit form. He is clumsy and he is not that good. And if you take pace away from him, he's no better than Lindelof. And more importantly, his hamstrings are gone. In the last 2 years, he's had 4 hamstring injuries and he's only 25. And trust me, I'm old enough to remember Giggsy. And he had to change his style of running in his latter years because he kept getting hamstring injuries from sprinting. So I do not want an overrated, clumsy centre-back who is going to get slower because he's going to have to figure out how to run, not doing his hamstring. I just think the fact that United think this style of player is what we need is hilarious. Murillo at Forest shits all over him. Absolutely on a completely different level. But because Van der Ven plays for Spurs and it's a hipster signing, United are a link to him. Murillo is way better. Way, way better. We need to avoid this one. Absolutely. I would in fact, shock horror, I'd rather sign Belaiba than Van der Ven. And I think Belaiba's a massive risk. But with Belaiba, I can sort of maybe see it working out. Van der Ven, look, I say the same about Romero as well. I don't want either of them. I think there are a couple of chances. I mean, this is the thing. You could almost say, right, Spurs maybe get relegated. Spurs last season, I think they were 5th from bottom, right? So they've had 2 seasons. And don't talk to me about the Europa League, right? The Premier League is where it's at, right? In the Premier League, the last 2 years, Spurs have been near the bottom, yeah? We can both agree with that. If you've got, let's say, prime Nemanja Vidic playing for Spurs and they get relegated, he's still an amazing centre-back, but he's got shit players around him and a shit partner. You could maybe say, well, it's not his fault. But he plays with Romero. People talk about Romero and Van der Ven like they're decent. They're going to get relegated. Last season, they were crap. I'm sorry, if you're a decent player at centre-back, your team doesn't do that shit. I don't go anywhere near him. He hasn't got leadership, clumsy, dodgy hamstrings. And as I said, take his pace away and you've got Victor Lindelof. In fact, I'd say Lindelof's better. Also, why are we trying to sign Dan James at centre-back anyway? Like, no, not for me. Not for me. I think it's a terrible signing. And you know what it is? You know why people want him? Because we remember the goal at Old Trafford last season where he got the ball and ran through our team and scored a goal. That's not. They literally are taking the Mickey stuff if they go for Mickey van der Ven. Look, I wish him all the best in his career. I don't want to see him in a United shirt. But the fact that Laurie Whitwell, who is quite credible, is saying that the United hierarchy rate Van der Ven, that doesn't surprise me. That actually doesn't surprise me. I think our recruitment beyond Favel, and that's because he understands the European game, I think our recruitment is absolutely crap. I really, really do. And yeah, the last thing I want to do is see a centre-back running around going, meep, meep. Yeah, meep, meep at fucking centre-back. No chance. Mm-mm. But let me know your thoughts. Actually, I suppose I should run a poll on this, shouldn't I, to be fair? There's lots to get through on that article anyway, but would you buy Van der Ven? And you know what as well? I haven't even used this as a reason. Why would I want this is probably the I nearly missed this. This is probably the best reason not to buy him. Why would I want a Spurs player at Man United? You know, why would I want a player that's been at Spurs for the last couple of years at Man United? Why would I want that mentality in my football club? I thought we wanted big mentality players. I don't want a Spurs player at Man United. Not an experienced Spurs player. I mean, Bergvall's quite young. I'd take him. Vuskovic isn't even there. He's young. I'd take him. But I don't want a 25-year-old Spurs player at Man United. God, no. I mean, they've got serious, serious mentality issues. And I've not seen any Spurs player step up to the plate in the last few weeks. Absolutely not. No, 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 no. Ispa, welcome to Members Club. Thank you very much. Does your same philosophy apply to Anderson? Says Keel Robinson. Oh, I knew Keel would come in with this. I'm ready for this. So what you're trying to say is, Elliot Anderson plays in a Nottingham Forest side, so it's the same as Spurs. The difference is, Elliot, is that Van der Ven is meant to be one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League and is 25 and plays in a Spurs side that was in the Champions League and is meant to be in the top 6. But for the last 2 years, they've failed miserably. They're not where they should be. Nottingham Forest, last season, overachieved and finished in the top half of the table. They then go into Europe with a squad that's not ready for Europe. So they're playing Thursday, Sunday, as a team that really is exactly where it should be, down at the bottom, fighting relegation. Forest are where they should be. Spurs aren't. So comparing Anderson to Van der Ven is wild. Are we actually having conversations with agents and players already? Every update is United want to or United are considering. It's almost May with the World Cup, as United 777777. Danny Drinkwater says, classic United, January Anderson, February Wharton, March Tonali, April Chiumini, May, June, July, let's see, August Belabor. Same for the other positions, same every year. Wilcox masterclass incoming. Some interesting comments coming in here. They probably think they can get him cheap since Spurs are going down. Says for, and I think that's the mic drop, isn't it? They're going, we can get a cheap centre-back from Spurs for, you know, but he's crap. Well, he's not crap. I've got to stop doing this. Steve Holland's not crap. Van der Ven is not crap. Like, they're not crap. I just overreact. They're just not good enough for what Man United need. Best in mediocrity, says Pele. Solid Blake, I nearly called you Pele. That's not because you're dead, because, you know, that would be because you're a goat, maybe. Best in class, average FC, says Marcus. Mickey Van der Ven, more Mickey can't defend, says Martin Saunders. And United actually think City won't pay for Anderson, says Joey. I'll come to that. And Sash Ashit says, how do you rate the following midfield transfers for United? Chiumini, Gomez and Stiller. Do you think these three would be under 150? Look, if we get three players and it's those three, I'd be very happy. Chiumini probably costs you 70. Gomez you probably get for 35. And Stiller you get for close to 50. So you've just spent £150 million on three decent midfielders. Well done. Do you want the job at Director of Football, Ashish? Because you can have it. Mojo says, signing four players only helps us improve the starting 11. That's too marginal. What about the bench? In a season with 50-plus games, we need 7 to 8 players. And as for funds, aren't the Glazers sitting on a pile of cash? £1.3 billion from that IPL team they bid for. Yeah, but they've not put a pound into the club, mate. They got £1.2 billion from Sir Jim Radcliffe. You know what a lot of business... Just very quickly, I'm deviating here. What a lot of business people do is when they get an investment of money, they don't take it for themselves. They put it back into their business. That's what a lot of people do. And, you know, are United going to do that? No. The Glazers have never put a pound of their own money into this football club at all. They've got billions. They've got absolute billions. They could build that stadium and still have billions, but they don't want to do it. Nobody ever asks that question, Mojo, and it's a fair point. If Qatar was going to buy the football club and build the stadium out of their own money, and then there's no debt on the club, why won't the Glazers build the new stadium when they've got the money to do it? Why won't, if they love Man United so much, why won't they use their own billions to build the stadium and gift something to the fan base of this football club that has endured all their shit for 20 years? They could build that stadium and never touch anything in United, but no. To be fair, Van der Ven would be upgrade on De Ligt and Martinez, says Dermot Gallagher. That's why you shit at Ref Watch, mate. Keep your mouth shut. You moron. Thank you very much. Okay, let's move on. There's so much to go through this morning. I do want to go back to those two things I said at the start. If you've tuned in a little bit late, Man United linked to Van der Ven by the Athletic, Laurie Whitwell. But also it says United want to buy two midfielders, but it's unlikely that they'll be able to pay 70 million for each. So probably going to have to go for a cheaper second one. Also, they're looking to make four signings this summer. Lots of people think they need to buy more, but four is the number that keeps getting mentioned. And I agree with Mojo. We need three midfielders, minimum, and we need seven signings, minimum. If we buy two midfielders and four overall, we are screwed next season. And look, let's not do the manager debate today, but if Michael Carrick is to be the manager, an inexperienced coach who's never managed a full Premier League season with European football, who was sacked by Middlesbrough in the Championship, if Michael Carrick gets the job, he's inexperienced and potentially out of his depth. If you're going to give him four signings and only two midfielders, we may as well just predict when he's getting sacked now. Will he make Christmas? Will he make the following season? Will he get 2 years? Because how is an inexperienced coach supposed to deal? You could give that job to Luis Enrique and he won't survive with two midfielders and four signings. So it would be shocking if that's the case. I would hope it's not. This is Elliot Anderson remains the priority. And we've got Ben Jacobs on at 2 o'clock. We'll be able to ask him all about Van der Ven, the manager situation. You know, are we, you know, what's happening with the midfields at the moment. But everybody is still saying that Manchester City, Manchester United's top priority remains Elliot Anderson. And it said it this morning in the Athletic piece. What it also said is Man City would be Elliot Anderson's preferred destination. That is a big statement. That is from Laurie Whitwell in the Athletic this morning. I've never heard that before. I think Sam, is it Sam Lee in the Athletic said the same, but he is a Man City correspondent. Laurie Whitwell is a Man United correspondent. I have never heard it from anybody credible yet that Man City would be Elliot Anderson's preferred destination. And Beth should ask Ben Jacobs about this, because Ben Jacobs has been very good around the Elliot Anderson story since last November, when he let something out about the fee. And I think, you know, potentially Forest themselves weren't happy about that. So Man City would be Elliot Anderson's preferred destination. I think that's quite big this morning. I forgive me if I'm wrong, but I don't remember hearing that from anybody credible ever. So Man City would be Elliot Anderson's preferred destination, who is at the top of Manchester United's list of options. So that's, look, it might have been misquoted. I just must say that I'm reading this from an aggregator on X, but it does say Laurie Whitwell's article. It goes on to say Marianakis would demand up to 125 million if Forest stay up. Some doubt that City can conclude a new contract with Rodri and spend more than £100 million on Anderson. Now, I don't know what we're supposed to do with that, because it sort of says Anderson's preferred destination is City. But it then goes on to give us hope that because Marianakis wants 125 million, City won't be able to go above 100. Like, that's like being at an auction house for a vintage Ferrari, right? And you walk in with, you know, a certain amount of money, and then there's a billionaire in there who says, I won't go above a price that you won't go above anyway. Like, what are we supposed to do with that? Oh, City won't give Forest any more than 100 million and they want 125. Hello, we're Manchester United. We won't even give 100. And I'm sort of reading it and thinking, are people taking that as a positive? Anderson wants to go to City, but City won't go above 100. And Forest want more than 100. Oh, we'll just go and give them 110. We don't want to go to 100. So I don't see how that helps us. And I also don't understand how Manchester City can't afford to go more than 100. I think Man City can afford to do anything. They're probably going to win the Premier League again. They've been in the Champions League for bloody years. They make a lot of money now because of what they got away with before. So they're not going to be a problem at all. I've just been sent this by our producer, so it is slightly different. So fair play to Greg. This is directly from Laurie Whitwell's article. Manchester City are thought to be Anderson's favoured destination in the event of a move, but Rodri's future is a factor. I mean, that's a direct lift. There you go. That's what you get on the United Stand. You get the direct lift. So Man City are thought to be Anderson's favourite destination. I still think that's quite strong, though, because that's Laurie Whitwell, a Man United correspondent, for The Athletic. There is credibility there, saying Man City are thought to be Anderson's favoured destination. So look, it's still significant. But how that helps us...
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
I legit don't really know. Goldfridge says, I think it's been clear for some time that Anderson is virtually off the table. As soon as Forrest's fate is sealed, he will sign for City. Let's move on. Yeah. Well, the thing is, Goldfridge, don't you feel that that's what it's like as a United fan these days? It's almost like we're more switched on than our owners, because there is the intelligent fan, and then there is the manipulated fan. And I think that I've always said this about supporting United, and I suppose it's the same with Liverpool and Arsenal. We're all football fans, and we should respect that. But there are different levels of football fans. There are people that wake up in the morning and straight away go to Man United news, or come to the United Stand, you know, watch the 8 o'clock show, etc. But there are fans who just go, Yeah, I'm a United fan. Didn't even catch the game, but it's a good result. So there are different levels of fans in relation to their... Not that one fan's better than the other, just that their interest in their sport. So I think that people like you will look at the Elliot Anderson story and keep seeing that he's our priority and go, come on, this is just pure spin. They're just spinning us. The scary thing is, why are they spinning us? But there'll be other people who are, you know, maybe not as in-depth in the club, will be going, oh, Elliot Anderson would be a good signing, wouldn't he? And they maybe haven't watched the United game for a couple of weeks. So I think the Elliot Anderson story probably just serves a certain type of fan in the sense that it just shields the truth. The thing we don't know is what the truth is. Why do United keep putting it out there that Elliot Anderson is the priority? When a lot of us know that deal is very, very difficult to do. Is it just to make themselves look busy? Is it because they genuinely think they can do something out of it? The bigger question for me when I look at these sort of things is, what are we really doing? If Elliot Anderson's just noise, what are we really doing? And how does it benefit us anyway? Semenyo, we publicly went for in January and he chose Man City. We've been publicly going for Anderson for 9 months. If he chooses City, what does that say about us as well? I mean, I don't even think we're actually that bothered about losing out to City, are we? Daniel Thompson says, hi, Mark and the United Stand. Hope you're all well. We've all said in this great community that we need 7 players minimum, at least 3 midfielders. Yet it looks like the board have given up on next season already, as 4 isn't enough. This will only hinder the next manager. You know what? It could be a sign of things to come. What can you or I do to make this club have the standards we want? It's not even about getting the Glazers out, because we can't get the Glazers out. It's about how do we get the standards of this football club to marry up with the standards we have. I want United to compete for titles. That is not a big ask. It's what most of us had for 20 years. And even in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, United fans still wanted to win the league every year. This is not a new phenomenon, Man United should compete for titles. Like, it's literally what we're built upon for decades, and it's gone. So how does this football club get back to wanting to compete for titles? Because they're not behaving like it. And the fear is that if we do only buy 2 midfielders and we do only buy 4 or 5 players, it's not enough. And we know what not enough looks like because we've seen it for the last 13 years. If you don't give enough, you don't get where you need to be. It's like driving to Cornwall, but only filling up your car for half of the journey. When you break down at Bristol, I knew that was going to happen when you only put half a tank in the petrol at Birmingham, you know? And I think we know we're not even being sensational. We know if you only buy 2 midfielders and 4 players, it won't be enough next year. But they won't listen. The fear is this is financial. This is we can only afford to buy 4 players because we need to work on building the stadium. And that might be what we do for the next 5 years. Arsenal did it for years under Wenger when they were building the stadium and immediately after. It's only now that they're starting to spend again. So it could be that. Lamons, Shaw, Van der Ven, Maguire, Dalot, Mainu, Belieber, Cabrunia, Bruno, Cunha, Embuemo, Sesko. Carrick would say that's fine. Nagelsmann would say F off, says Andy Atherton. Well, apparently Nagelsmann's not interested in the Chelsea job. Matt Law, who is a very good journalist in the Daily Telegraph, Chelsea journalist, says Nagelsmann will not take the Chelsea job. I think that means he probably won't take the United job because the Chelsea model is very similar to ours. Apparently Nagelsmann doesn't like the Chelsea structure. Would you blame management on Van der Ven, says Sharon? I don't know what that means. There is no way we get Van der Ven. We have Yoro in heaven, not needed, and we should be looking at Mora from Porto and should go for Bissek as well, says Loz the God. Aiden Heaven is going to be a better centre-back than Van der Ven. Absolutely. I wouldn't say he's there yet, but he will be. Morning, Mark. I saw a crazy stat last night that United have dropped 17 points from the bottom 6 this season, which is unacceptable, says Dino69. Yeah, but that means we must be picking up points elsewhere. How many have we taken from the top?
lost to Man City, beat Man City, lost to Arsenal, beat Arsenal. Villa, lost to Villa, beat up Villa. Liverpool beat them, probably beat them again. So our record against the top teams is probably quite good. Morning, Mark. Thank you very much for that, Dino. Van de Ven is more reactive defending. He can't read the game, says Hayden. And United actually think City won't pay for Anderson, says Joey. Thank you very much for that. Okay, still lots to get into here. Please do share the video. We've got nearly 6,000 watching, and smash a like. Good day, Mark. I guess Rashford, no, is tempted to come back by the Carrick nostalgia, thinking he could hit the same heights as under Ollie, says Marlo. I think Carrick would welcome him back as well. Do you think Van de Ven for left back, maybe, says JSD. Mate, there ain't no way Van de Ven can play left back with those hamstrings. If you're not going to decide to do this, absolutely 100% I'll get proved right. I will. I don't know whether I'll 100% get proved right about Carrick. I think I will. I might not get proved right about Baleba if we sign him. I think I will. If we sign Van de Ven, I guarantee you it will not work. It is so obviously not going to work. He's not actually that good. He's totally reliant on pace. He's got dodgy hamstrings, and he's a Spurs player, so he won't have mentality. Mark, the only Spurs player I would go for is Bergwijn, says Christian. I completely agree with you on that. And Andy Kemp, welcome to the Members Club. Thank you very much for that. Sheras says, now that it's going to be Carrick, I wish they are planning for a Nagelsmann or Enrique, and Carrick is building block to getting a team ready for them. Need a lot of competency to plan this way, though.
No. United ain't doing that. No way are we doing that.
Don't even bring that into this chat. Maybe we're getting Carrick as a preparation for Enrique in a year. No, that would be total spin. If they're giving it to Carrick and they want him to have the job for 10 years, that's the way Ineos work. This is the problem with United. Every time we're in the Champions League, we buy 3 to 4 players and back to Europa League or not in it next season, looking dangerously the same, says Ray. I don't think since Sir Alex left, there's been many times that we've actually gone into the Champions League back to back. I think we have done it once or twice, but yeah, I don't know. Just on Van de Ven, would you buy Van de Ven? 42% of you would. We need a clear out, don't we? I need to have a word with the mods. We've clearly got some absolute morons in the chat. But look, it is obviously a democracy and you can vote how you want. But the fact that 42% of people would buy Van de Ven, you clearly only watch Man United play, don't you? He is shit. He is absolute shit. Like, this season in a Spurs shirt is absolute shit. But look, you're entitled to your opinions and I must retract. Right, let me carry on. Lots to get into, as I said. So we spoke about Van de Ven. There's so many bits in this article. What about the Koop Miners story, Mark? Well, I will just deviate onto this one as well. I've used deviate twice. Can I do it 3 times? It's the word of the day, deviate. What does the word deviate mean, Mark? Deviate means, and I'll give you the English dictionary, not deviant, that's something very different. Deviate means to change from the usual way, turn aside from a planned course, or depart from an established normal standard usage. We're changing topic, basically, for a little minute. A deviant is not what I said. That's something completely different. So Koop Miners, Tutto Sport, have linked us to Koop Miners this morning, who is another Dutch. Another Dutch player. So he is 28 and basically plays for Juventus. And they're saying that Man United are reportedly willing to take a chance on him this summer for the 28-year-old Netherlands international. Chance and 28 are words that are banned from Man United's recruitment department. They will not take a chance on a 28-year-old. They won't take a chance on a 28-year-old who's one of the best players in the world. Man United have a 26 parameter that they won't go above until they do. But that is in place. They do not want to go for players over 26. So, no. And also, he wouldn't be a player I would go for anyway. I believe I might be mixing him up. I think I'm mixing him up with another Dutch midfielder. Who was the Dutch midfielder that I can picture his face? There was a Dutch midfielder. Oh, he can't be Koop Miners because he'd have been about 18 at the time. What was that Dutch midfielder that Van Gaal wanted to buy and he did his knee? And he did, I think he played for Roma. There's a quiz question for you.
I can picture his face. Not De Jong. I can picture his face and I can't think of his bloody name. Brown hair. About 10 years ago. Played for Dutch in the... Strootman. That was it. Strootman. Kevin Strootman, yeah. I don't know why I always think of Strootman and Koop Miners. Maybe because they're both Dutch and they play in the midfield, but no, they're not players that Man United are going to look at all. Just on Belaba, an update in The Athletic about Belaba. Man United have continued to track Carlos Belaba since last summer. United rate his overall data as a good fit for the squad in terms of ground coverage, possession, winning and passing. So at least that's a bit of insight. At least that explains it a little bit. So Data Dean is suggesting Belaba's a good signing, isn't he? It's not the eye test, it's the data. And I'm okay with that because I watch him. I don't get it. I do not get it at all. So it looks like Belaba is a data-driven signing, which I would flush down the toilet straight away. I think data's decent, but nothing beats the eye test. However, it goes on to say that Belaba is now in a lower category of midfield on United's list and they would only be willing to pay a suitable price. They believe a fee that in the region of 50 million makes sense. I mean, I can see United buying somebody and Belaba, actually. I can see us going for, I don't know who now, because if we can't get Anderson and we're not paying for Tonali, I don't know who that one would be, but I can see Belaba being the second one. But at least we know why we're looking at him. It's data. We haven't heard from data.
Well, at the end of the day, Belaba is shit. Well, I say shit. So that's not very fair. When you run the numbers through the computers, his possession is actually not that bad. He's in the top 10 centile in the Premier League at the moment. And actually, his physical status means that he will only get injured for less than 5% of the season. There is a potential uptick as well if we can do certain things and teach him certain things as well. But admittedly, when you look at him, he doesn't look that good. But it's about the computers. It's about the data.
And some clubs do run the data now. As we know, the Moneyball project works quite well. I don't know whether it works well for top teams. It does work well for like Bodø/Glimt and Brighton and Brentford. But I don't know. But reality is, I wouldn't say in the region of £50 million. I would say max £50 million. I just don't know what planet Brighton are on thinking they can get more than £50 million for him. He's had a terrible season. And what has he actually done in his career? I mean, he had a good season last year in the Premier League, which... You know, we can all name a player that had a good season when they were like young and then it didn't turn into something. I think to be a £50 million midfielder, you've got to be playing well now or have a couple of years of playing well in your back pocket. And he hasn't got either of them. So I personally think 50 million max, not 55, 60. I think 50 million max for him. And I still think that's a punt, to be honest. What do you think of Sebastian, the Stuttgart coach, as Man United football manager candidates, as Michael? He's a good coach, but he absolutely definitely falls into the category of Amrim and Ten Hag. And we can't do that again. Amrim and Ten Hag and the Stuttgart coach would be very similar to me. Done very good jobs where they deserve attention, but we've tried that twice. You know, if Liverpool decides to go for him and it works out, great. Or if Chelsea or whatever, but we can't go for another Ten Hag Amrim, you know, a potential coach that's done well at a smaller club in a smaller league. We need an experienced coach. Would it be a hipster manager, says Harry? Yeah, potentially, but we won't be looking at that and we shouldn't be looking at that. I think I read you this, didn't I? A deal for Tonali is expected to be out of reach for United. I mean, why is it out of reach? Why is Tonali out of reach? Why are we, again, I don't want to talk about the manager this morning, but here we are again. Like, Anderson's out of reach because of the price. Tonali's out of reach because of the price. They cost that much because they're the best options. You can't run a football club like this. Casemiro is walking out the door in the summer and we need a proper best-in-class replacement. You can't look at
good candidates and go, they're out of reach because they're too expensive. I mean, who are we now then? Is that who we are now? I mean, are we that now? I don't know when that happened, by the way. I don't know when it happened that club players were out of reach financially. Like, is that a subtle change? Did we sign up for that? Obviously, we don't get listened to anyway, but why are players now financially out of reach at Man United? On whose watch was that allowed? Do you want that? Do you want that as a United fan? Do you want to accept that certain players are out of reach? Do you accept that Newcastle's Tonali should be out of reach for Man United? Do you accept that Elliot Anderson should be out of reach for Man United? Because that's basically the message we're getting. We can't get Tonali because it's financially out of reach.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Since when? How are we ever going to get back if we're going to preclude and dismiss viable candidates because they're financially out of reach? Why are they financially out of reach? Because we're owned by the Glazers, by any chance? Because you're trying to save money? Because you're trying to reduce the wage bill? I don't agree with that. Don't agree with reducing the wage bill. I think don't pay stupid money to stupid players. Yeah, you've been doing that for years. But as I've always said, if somebody like Vitinha wanted to come to United on 300 grand a week and United went, sorry, we don't pay anything over 200. Well, pay him 300 grand a week, he's worth it. They seem to have subtly manipulated some of our fans into accepting that we can't spend a certain amount of monies anymore. Well, Manchester United, more than happy to rip us off every bloody summer with three kits. More than happy to rip the fans at the ground off so you can cover off your costs from your own bloody mistakes. But when it comes to spending on players, no, that's out of reach. It's not out of reach to raise ticket prices to the working person, though, is it? But it's out of reach for you actually to entertain that working person by buying the best players. Bloody disgusting. Why are people out of reach? They're a bunch of hypocrites. Oh, out of reach. We won't pay this much for a player, but we will rip off our fans by increasing prices even more for football that's not actually at the level it should be. Poor, in my opinion. No player should be out of reach for Manchester United. We shouldn't be using that as a reason. And no fan should be accepting that Tonali's out of reach. Nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And you know, the trouble is, when you don't get plan A and B, you end up with plan F and G. No, you end up with plan F and C. Fucking crap. Tchouaméni is being discussed internally at Man United, but the 26-year-old has been one of Real Madrid's most consistent performers this season. It's unclear if Real Madrid would even consider a sale, and he may end up signing a new deal instead. Also in The Athletic, that is. Just a little bit of an update on the Tchouaméni story. We've done that about Van der Ven. Wharton. A little bit of an update on Wharton, also from Laurie Whitwell. Man United admire Wharton for his progressive passing and composure, with his consistent performances standing out this season. However, Palace's high valuation could make a deal difficult. So it's another player that's out of reach. So what have we learned this morning? That basically, Tonali, Anderson and Wharton are all being written off because of the price. I mean, you know, if we already had a really good starting midfield two, you might go, I don't want to pay 80, 90, 100 million pounds. But we're trying to replace our best midfielder. We're trying to replace our only midfielder. But we're trying to replace our best midfielder. And we're going, Wharton's too expensive, Tonali's too expensive, and Anderson's too expensive. Well, suddenly you're down to plan D. And we know how that works. Crazy. Sorry, I was just having a look at Lee Berman, what he's saying here. What do you think? I've done that one there. Pay cheap, buy twice. says Lee Berman. I tell you what, that's a lesson for life. That is a lesson for life. Pay cheap, buy twice. You know, if you get a builder in to build you a wall and you go with the cheapest option, not only will you pay that cheap option, when it all falls down, you'll end up paying again to have it fixed. It's true. Pay cheap, buy twice. And it definitely works in football, Lee. That's probably one of the best comments of the last 5 minutes. But no, it's true. You definitely do pay cheap, buy twice. Daniel Thompson says, I completely agree, Mark, what you said on standards. Also, we need quality and the board treat this like the Olympics. Someone running fast isn't enough. This is Man United, one of the biggest clubs in the world. I just genuinely do think, and I'm entitled to this opinion, I genuinely do think our board is out of its depth. They continually make bad decisions. Let's not forget, they kept Ten Hag, they gave him £300 million, they sacked him 3 months later. They brought Amrim in, they sacked him 12 months later. They brought Ashworth in, they sacked him 3 months later. Like, there's so many things they've factually done wrong, and I don't trust them on transfers either. I don't trust them on transfers at all. And we keep getting linked to players that it just... And then when you've got incompetence on the board and crap owners who don't want to spend money, you're almost stirring up an absolute shit show, aren't you? Because you've got a board that keeps making bad decisions. You've got owners that don't want to spend money. And then you might have an inexperienced coach. So the chances of all that coming together and working are very slim compared to an owner that's ambitious, a board that knows what they're doing, and a coach that's experienced. I mean, it's not rocket science, is it? We have owners that are not very good. We have a board that nobody thinks is very good. And we have an inexperienced coach. Is that going to compete against someone like Man City, who've got ambitious owners, a decent board, and a world-class manager? Even Arsenal have ambitious owners, a decent board, and, you know, a decent manager. We just don't... Those three things are fundamentally so important to the success of a football club, by the way. The appetite of your owner, the competence of your board, and the experience of your manager. They've always been the three pillars of a football club. People think it's the players, but if you have an ambitious board, you will get good players. If you have an ambitious owner, you will get good players. If you have a competent board, they will also identify and remove the right and wrong players. And if you have an experienced coach, they will make those players better. But if you have an inexperienced coach with an incompetent board and an unambitious owner, it ain't looking good, Brev. What if they treat Maynou's new contract like it's a new signing, says Sydney? Oh, yeah, they'll definitely do that. One Inch Wonder says, please do the whole voice in that... Please do the whole video in that voice. What, Data Dean?
Yeah. Well, at the end of the day, I can't do it. I actually could do it all video one day, but it would annoy some people because they don't like it. Yeah. But I can do that easier than Deitch because Deitch hurts my throat. It gives me a sore throat when I do Deitch. But Data Dean is actually quite easy to do, even though it's tickling my throat now. okay. Beth quote tweeted you. She's with the 43%, says Robert Moore McCormack. Look, it's great that Beth has different opinions to me. That's all I'm going to say. It's great that people have different opinions, but tell me this about Van der Ven, because I'm the man who can't be moved. Is he injury prone in relation to his hamstrings? Yes. Has anybody ever done any research on fast players with dodgy hamstrings at 25 where it ends up going well in their late 20s? Because it doesn't, right? Is he a Spurs player with a weak mentality? Yes. Is he Victor Lindelof with pace? Yes. Has he played shit for the last 2 years? Yes. Is he clumsy and always out of position? Yes. Why do people rate him? Because he's fast. He's fast. And he recovers from his crap positional sense by being quick. But Aidan Heaven's a better player than him. I'm saying it now. Aidan Heaven is a better player than him. Dial says, keep calm, Mark. Wilcox is cooking this summer. I am calm. I know I'll be right. Do you think the centre-back position even needs fixing, Mark? Well, this is the stupid thing. Why are we even linked to centre-backs? We've just given Harry Maguire a new contract. I didn't agree with that, but we don't need a centre-back. Why is a centre-back even being mentioned? You've got Mazraoui, who played there and who will be there next season, who's just proven he can play right-side centre-back. You've got Yoro. So you've got Mazraoui can play centre-back. You've got Yoro. You've got Maguire. You've got Heaven. You've got Martinez. You've got De Ligt. And Luke Shaw can play left centre-back as well. So we've got seven centre-backs for two positions. Whereas in the midfield, we've got one midfielder for two positions. So we don't even need a bloody centre-back. Realistically, a centre-back's not even a priority this summer. You don't spend money on a centre-back when you need three midfielders. You don't buy two midfielders and a centre-back. You buy three midfielders. Dan says, I agree that the owner is important. Look at Leicester. Sadly, theirs died, and look at where they are now, 10 years after winning the league, says Dan. Yeah, well, in the modern day, look at Chelsea. Look at Chelsea. I think Chelsea is a scary example of ambition with incompetence. Like, there ain't no way the Glazers would spend £2 billion on transfers in 2 years. But Chelsea have. But they've spent it badly. News just in. Lobster and caviar are my priority for lunch today. Update, that cup of soup was exactly what I wanted the whole time. Lunchester United, says Damien. Thank you so much. Just on the player of the year thing. I got sent a clip from the overlap today. I won't say from who. So player of the year. Roy Keane. I can't remember what Roy Keane said. What did Roy Keane say for his player of the year? Oh, Bernardo Silva. Ian Wright said Declan Rice. Jill Scott said Jared Bowen, and Gary Neville said Bruno Fernandes. So I said in January, when it was hip, I said in January, and the video's there, Bruno Fernandes should win Player of the Year. I said it way before it was even cool to say it. If Bruno Fernandes doesn't win Player of the Year this year, there's something very, very wrong with that system. Because Player of the Year is epitomised by what Bruno Fernandes has done this year. United haven't been that good. We haven't played that well. And yet the third place is two assists off the record and has been brilliant in two positions. He started the season in the midfield and I don't think he was brilliant in the midfield, but what I mean is he's still got assists. And then he's gone back to number 10. Player of the Year shouldn't go to a player that wins the title just because they win the title. Player of the Year goes to the title winner a lot because they tend to be the best team and there's a player in that team that's been remarkable. I don't think there's a remarkable player in the Man City and Arsenal squads this season. I think there's good players, but I don't think there's a consistently remarkable player. Whereas I think Bruno Fernandes this season has been consistently remarkable. I also think if you take Bruno Fernandes out of the Man United side, we would be in the bottom half of the table. So I think that is a complete and utter vindication as to why Bruno Fernandes should be Player of the Year, because he epitomises what Player of the Year means. You are the player that's had the biggest impact on your team in a very positive way. So Bruno Fernandes has put Man United into the Champions League spots, which we all would have took at the start of the season, and he is the sole reason for that. And if we didn't have Bruno Fernandes, we wouldn't be there. So for me, that consistency week in, week out, And consistency is a big part of being Player of the Year as well. He's consistently delivered throughout 9 months of this season and put Man United in a position many of us didn't think we could do, despite these owners. You know, we didn't buy anybody in January. And many of us, myself included, said we need to buy a midfielder or we're jeopardising Champions League football. And yeah, look, maybe if Liverpool had been a bit better and Chelsea had been a bit better, we might have slipped out of there in Champions League spots. But we're there because of Bruno. And that's why it should be Bruno. Savage says no, he's going to vote for Jared Bowen. Mark, Ibrahim Mbe is leaving PSG. He's a super talented 18-year-old winger who is very high upside. We should go for him. We can get him for cheap, says JDC. Well, if we've got the correct recruitment process at our football club, then we should be looking at these types of players. I mean, I can't
I can't speak about players like that. But maybe we're not going to bother buying a winger now because we've got Rashford coming back. Maybe that's the plan. I don't know. I guess we just have to wait and see. Plan F and G excites me more because our recruitment team is that bad. We would have gone for Dalap or Gyökeres instead of Sesko, says Lucho. Yeah, but I think that works in that case. Obviously, going for Plan B, C and D was better than going for Plan A and Dalap. But Plan A, B and C this summer is Anderson, Tonali, Bruno G, Wharton. We're not getting any of them players. So who's the Plan F that's better than them for? That's my problem, is that the players that we should be going for, we're ruling ourselves. Marlo says, I honestly think the Tchouaméni rumours is just the board flicking through old papers trying to find the next story to spin. It does feel like, Marlo and everybody, it does feel like the Tchouaméni story is just a story to fill the week. It feels like it started on Monday. It feels a week where we're not playing. I've got to be honest. I've seen this happen so many. I've seen this happen for years. I've seen this happen under Sir Alex. You start the week. There's a story about a player. You get excited, and then by the end of the week, it's served its purpose. It does feel a little bit like that, to be honest with you. Okay, great show this morning. Really enjoyed it. Actually, really did enjoy it. Brilliant show. So thank you, everybody. We're back at 2 o'clock with Ben Jacobs, so get your questions in the comments and I'm sure Beth will visit those. I'm sure she's going to be asking about Van der Ven, and we'll certainly get the situation on the midfield, the left back, the manager situation I think is important as well. So tune in live at 2 o'clock for that. And then tonight at 8 o'clock, it's the preview for Brentford. I'm not doing the preview on a bloody weekend just because we're playing on Monday. The preview's on a Thursday. We're previewing Brentford tonight. And I'm looking forward to it because I think Brentford are with Bournemouth drawing last night and Brighton winning the night before, Brentford have the opportunity to, I think, well, I was looking at the league table. If Brentford beat us, they go sixth. Yeah. And they're unbeaten in the last six games. So Brentford win against us and they go sixth place again, above Chelsea, Bournemouth and Brighton. So big game on Monday. And Brentford, to me, are a little bit of a team where I don't really know much about them. Don't really watch them. So looking forward to that. Thank you, everybody, for watching, as always. Stay safe. Take care. Good morning, says Chind. It's Tom from Nigeria. Thank you very much, Tom. Hope you all have a great day. Stay safe. 56% of you wouldn't sign Van der Ven and 44% of you would. Does that mean we've got 44, nearly half of the chat are morons? Look, my list, nobody's given me a good reason to sign Van der Ven. I'll repeat again. He's clumsy, always out of position. He's overrated. No decent centre-back is decent if they're playing in a team that's in the bottom of the Premier League 2 years in a row. He's always getting hamstring injuries. He's totally reliant on pace. He's got a Spurs mentality. And if he didn't have pace, I'd rather have Victor Lindelof. I've not heard one alternative to those 7 points that would make me even consider it. He's massively overrated. Porro or Van der Ven, who do we need more, says Stretford Signal. I mean, I don't really think we should go for Pedro Porro, but he's better than Van der Ven. And he's better than Delo. Take care. Stay safe. I'll speak to you in the next one.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.